Thank you all. I am Barbar. I am a very grateful recovering Al-Anoner. I've been in the program for almost 3 years now. And through the grace and the love of this program, I am also a recovering adult child through the same program. It has literally saved my life. I am scared and I'm shaking, but one of the things that I found for me is that it's okay to shake today, because that lets me know when God's real close. When I shake, God's right there. I would like to thank the committee for asking me, and we'll let you reserve judgment on the rest of that. It happened real quick. I really didn't think about it a lot, because one of the first things I remember hearing when I came into the program was that if you're ever asked to give a lead, you shouldn't say no, because it doesn't have anything to do with you. And I wanted to say no, because I've never spoken to a group this large before, but I knew I shouldn't. And so for that reason, and only that reason, I'm here. Last year was my first time at this conference, and it was the most peaceful weekend I had ever spent in my life. I felt a lot of love here, and because I felt it, I was able to give it. There have been two things I've prayed for since I've come into this program. One is that would God allow me to be the mother He would like me to be, and that God would use me as a tool, and only as a tool, and I would do God's will. And I know today that's happening for me, and I'm grateful for that. I guess I'll just begin at the beginning, and if I run on, tell me. I tend to do that. I prayed to have that taken away. God hasn't decided to do that yet. So that's in God's hands too. I was born 37 years ago in Pennsylvania. And at the age of 2, my father and my mother separated. And I missed him terribly. I loved my father a lot. The first 2 years of my life are warm and wonderful memories for me. The first home I lived in had some warm and wonderful memories for me, but with the leaving of my father, my life changed. It was not a comfortable change for my parents. There was a lot of animosity there. To this day, I still don't know why. It's not important to me today. It was important for a long time, but it isn't important today. But the one thing I could never do was let go of that love I had for my father. I didn't get to see him a lot, but I still loved him. We moved a couple times, and when I was about 5, my mother went to work as a housekeeper for this gentleman. I don't remember a lot of it, but the next thing I knew, we were moving into his home. And I remember that terrifying me, because my father knew where I was living at the time, but when we moved, to the best of my knowledge, he didn't know where I was going to. And I remember being absolutely terrified that if I left there, he couldn't find me anymore. And I needed to know he could find me. And it was very scary for me. And the thing about it was, because there were such bad feelings between my mother and my father, for whatever reason, I couldn't talk to her about that. I couldn't let her know that. And that was hard for me. But I let it be. I couldn't do anything about it. I was a child. I had to do what my parents said I had to do. But I carried that for years, that fear. So we moved, and it wasn't long after we moved into this beautiful home. And it was a beautiful home. And we were poor when I was smaller, and I thought maybe things were going to be better now. But they weren't. This man that my mother had fallen in love with was an alcoholic. I don't remember my mother drinking before that time, but when we moved there, she began drinking with him. And they began leaving home a lot to go do this. And so then I didn't have her there either. I was alone a lot. And I missed her terribly. I was 6, and she was the only parent I had left, and she was unavailable to me. Because of that, my oldest sister was put in charge of taking care of us. And she didn't want to do that, and I don't blame her. but she did the best she could. But there was a lot of problems because of that for me, because she was not my parent. She was my sister. When I needed to be held, I didn't want to be held by her. I wanted to be held by my parent. And neither one of them were there. The man that my mother fell in love with was a violent alcoholic. I was beat from the age of 6 to 16. I'll be honest to share with you that through the help and the grace of this program, I don't have any rules in my home today because I don't know how to enforce them. But there's one that today I can. And the only rule in my home today is no physical violence. And that's the one today I can enforce. That's the only one. But there's a lot of love there. And the rules seem to define their self without me having to do that. It's not easy, but it's worth it. There are many memories in my life of us running out of the house to get away from him. I wanted to keep running, but my mother wouldn't let us. He used to call the law on us all the time. And they would come, and he used to call the minister of our church, and he would come. And I can remember many times seeing him come to the house from afar because we had run to get out of the house. And I wanted to go with him because I loved him. But he never took me. He never asked me if I wanted to go. And I was a child. I didn't think I had the right to ask him. And I was afraid to leave my mother. Part of what I did as her daughter was to take beatings that I didn't want to see her take. And I wouldn't change that today. Because today I know if I didn't love her, I wouldn't have done that. And when I got into this program, I needed to know I loved her. So, time went on. People started leaving home through the natural process. And I was 13. And I met my knight in shining armor, as we all call them. I don't know why it ends up that we always call him that, but that's what we all seem to call him. He wasn't riding a horse, and he didn't have any shining armor, but he was the one. And he was 18. And that created its own set of problems because I was so much younger. But in a lot of ways, we were the same age. And I know today that's why we ended up together, because we're the same age. Chronologically, we weren't, but emotionally, we were. And he saw what my situation was at home, and he wanted to save me. And I wanted to let him. And I did. But I was young, and he was young. He was probably the same age as I was, actually. And we could only come up with one idea. The only way we figured I could get out of there, so I wouldn't have to be beat anymore, was for me to get pregnant. So we started that. I did. But I didn't get pregnant until the reason I wanted to leave was gone, because he died. And that was my stepfather. He died in April of 66, of 65. I got pregnant in June of 65. But I thank God today because I did. Because if I wasn't supposed to, God wouldn't have let it happen. And we won't even quibble about that one. Because she's here with me tonight. And I'm real grateful for that. Because I know today, because of the events that have happened in my life in relationship to her, she's been some of the best Al-Anon I've ever had. And I want to thank you. She's been the only thing in my life that's been unconditional. I had to let her go when she was 7 because she wanted to go. And I didn't blame her because I really knew I couldn't take care of her. I knew that. And because I could do that, because I could accept that I was unable, we have had what I feel is the best mother-daughter relationship any mother could have. She has been my friend and I have been her friend. She has chosen to use me as a confidant when she's needed one, and I have never felt the need to judge her, because I've always known that any time spent with her was very precious for me, that it was a gift. And that's the only thing I know to tell you about that. She has been the one constant unconditional love for me in my life. She never put any promises on me, and I never put any on her. I didn't feel I had the right. All I've ever had to do with her is love her, and that was real easy. So anyhow, my life went on with her father. We got married, and his drinking began to escalate, and I began to get very afraid of him. He had never hit me, but that was real familiar for me, because I had been beaten for too many years. And there was an occasion where he destroyed our home one evening when he was drunk, and I knew I couldn't stay there anymore. I knew I could not live like that anymore. I was always afraid, and I did not want to be terrified. So I made the decision to leave him. And it happened real quick. I did it in 3 days. He hadn't hit me, but I really knew if I stayed there, he would. And I didn't want to be beat anymore. And I could not understand what was happening to him. But I was too afraid. So I left and I came to Morgantown, where my family was. And I wasn't here but a couple weeks in Morgantown, not here. And I met the next one. Didn't take long. And he was completely different from my first husband. My first husband was very quiet and very withdrawn and didn't have a lot to say. And this one was totally outrageous. Had a sense of humor that just was unbelievable. And I love a good sense of humor. He was very accepting of things. Still is, actually. I just didn't think he was. And he was gorgeous, and he rode a motorcycle. Now, I need to share with you that he knew me before I knew him. I love to tell this story. I was working at a department store in Morgantown, and I rode to work with a girl that I worked with. And I remember getting in her car one morning, and there was this body over here on the left beside me, and it had one of these black woolly caps on, you know, that you wear in the wintertime, and that was all I could see, just this body and this hat. No face, no nothing. It was asleep. So I thought, well, okay. You know, no big deal. This was in the 70s when the mini skirts were in, and I wore them. So I guess after I got out of the car, he shared this with me about 3 years later. All he saw was these legs. That was all he saw. And he set about to find out who those legs belonged to, ask about all the data that went along with those legs, found out where I ate dinner, found out where I went, found out my name, how many children I had, their names, where I was from. And I was out one evening with some friends, and I went to the local spot that was open all night long, the local coffee shop, and I didn't have a stove in my home yet, so my daughter and I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. So I went in, and they all knew me, so I just went back and got a cup of coffee, because so many people came in, they just lined up around the walls until they could get a place to sit down, and I'm going around filling up everybody's coffee cup, and I come to this fella, and I said, would you like some coffee? And he said, do you work here? And I said, no, I just help out. And he said, yeah. And I poured it, and he said, thanks, Barb. I said, you're welcome. How did you know my name? Oh, he said, I know everything about you. I said, oh, you do? He said, oh, yeah. I said, what do you know about me? Well, he told me everything. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I think you'd have been just as hooked as I was. That was it. I was hooked. totally and completely hooked by this human being. And he had a wonderful smile, and he had wonderful eyes, and I love eyes. And that was the beginning. Didn't see a lot of him at first. I was still trying to find out where I was in all this. But that was the beginning. And we started dating, and my daughter was with me. And I became so needy of him that I began leaving my daughter with sitters constantly. I could not be away from him. He was more important to me than I was. He was more important to me than she was. I was literally working to pay a babysitter. When I got paid, just about all of my paycheck had to pay my sitter. So that was why I knew I wasn't able to take care of her. I couldn't take care of her. I couldn't even take care of me. I wanted him to do that. At that time, he was doing a pretty good job, or so I thought. So time finally came whenever Jody's father and I both decided we should divorce. So that began. It was a pretty quick process. And I remember when we went in for the hearing, the judge had asked me to bring Jody with me. And he didn't ask me what I wanted for her. He asked her what she wanted for her. And I felt okay with that. I didn't dislike him for that. I trusted his judgment. And her 7-year-old heart and mind looked at him and said, I want to live with my grandparents because I can have anything I want. And I couldn't argue with that. I really couldn't. And I had to let her go. I didn't have a choice. I knew I was not capable of taking care of her the way she needed to be taken care of. The way she needed. Not what I needed to do, what she needed. And she told them what she needed, and they did it. Around about this time, I also found out I was pregnant again. So, Jody left. And that was hard, but I was okay with that. And I really think the only reason I was because I was pregnant again. I think if that hadn't happened for me at that time, it would have been almost unbearable. I had lost a child, but I had another one coming. And that was the love I needed to be able to carry, was love for a child. And in November of 72, my son was born, my first son, Daniel. And he was a wonderful child, but I was also getting sicker. I know and believe today that for my children, I was the best mother God could have possibly wanted them to have through all of their lives, but I was not necessarily the best mother I wanted to be. I was doing the best I could do. I know and believe today that up until about the age of 2, I was a good mother. My life with my children up until the age of 2 was fine and wonderful for me. We played together a lot. But there was something that happened in my thinking with my children, and that was when they got past the age of 2, they were supposed to be bigger now, and they were supposed to start to be more responsible. And one of those things was I shouldn't play with them anymore, that I had to get them prepared for this world. And so I didn't play with them as much. But the truth today is I didn't know how. I had no idea how to play with my children. That wasn't something that was given to me in the home I grew up in. And it was nothing, I couldn't give it. I didn't know. I know today that's nobody's fault. That's what happens in this disease. It's a family disease. But I carried a lot of guilt about that for a long time. I really tried. I just couldn't do it the way people told me I should. I tried. I couldn't. When Danny was born, my charmer came to live with me. I didn't go live with him. He came to live with me. I never thought about that till just now. I'll let that one be. And we've been together ever since until recently. We had another child a couple years later, and he's Larry Jr. And sadly to say, because I hate labels, I really don't like labels, but he is just like his father. He's a charmer. He's been my saving grace when I needed humor in my life. He's always been there for me when I've needed humor. When I began to get sicker and my humor had gone, I began to not want him around me because his humor hurt. But bless his heart, he just kept doing it. And he's doing it today. And I'm grateful for that. The thing I know and believe about children is no matter how many times you hurt them, they're always going to love you. And the child in me today is the same way. I need to share this with you. This is my choice. I know and believe today that what led me to Al-Anon began with a memory that I had forgotten for 25 years. I know this was my beginning of my journey to Al-Anon. And the memory was that I remembered after 25 years that I had been molested as a child when I was 8. That memory almost killed me. That was the beginning of my insanity. The thoughts, the crazy thoughts that began with that almost killed me. Today I am grateful for my alcoholic because he was the first person I could tell. And he was very heavy into his drinking at that time. He was drinking 7 days a week. But I couldn't talk to anybody in my family because I didn't know what they knew. And I was afraid to find out. And the thing that he allowed me to do was just cry about it. He didn't question me. He didn't put me down. He didn't think me bad. All he did was hold me for 3 days and let me cry, which was all I could do because I was so scared. So you see, by the time I got to this program, thinking that this person did not love me, this program has given me memories that let me know today that he does. And those are important and precious memories to me. When I finally got to the program, he had lost his license from drunk driving. He hadn't killed himself yet, but that was my biggest fear. I was sure he was going to. I was sure he was going to kill somebody else. And all I could think of was, what am I going to do? I'm going to be alone here. I have these children. I can't survive. I'll not do this. I had tried professional help at a couple points in my life, and I know today the reason it wouldn't help me was because I couldn't be honest. But I also know that I was being as honest as I could be at the time. They could look at me and say, you're not being honest, but I was. I was being as honest. I was telling them what I knew. I can't tell you what I don't know. So there was an occasion that happened, and that was a friend of mine was a counselor for a youth group in a church. And she was the head of the youth group, and they had a couple lock-ins twice a year. And the children chose the topic that they wanted to talk about. And they had decided that they wanted to talk about alcoholism. And I knew there was a problem in my home, and the only thing I really knew was that it had to do with alcohol, because it was his drinking that was making me crazy. And I said to her, I know I'm not a member of this church, but can I please come? I really want to hear what these people have to say. And she said, sure, we need people to come and stay with the kids. Bring a sleeping bag, a pillow, and come on. And that's what I did. And I know that that was my higher power leading me today. I didn't know that at the time, but I know that today. So I went, and they had a couple professionals there. And they shared a lot of literature that they had. And I love it. They took pictures, and we were all laying around in this room about this size. It was this top room in the church, and we all had sleeping bags and pillows. They showed a couple films also. I saw a film called Soft is the Heart of a Child, and that touched me deeply. It reminded me of me. And it was the first time I ever saw Father Martin. I saw Chalk Talk that night, and I loved this person. I mean, I was hooked. I just adored him because he had something I wanted. And it wasn't sobriety, guys. It was a sense of humor. Anybody who knows Father Martin knows his sense of humor, and I wanted that. So I talked to people afterwards. I saw a picture, and nobody was listening to these people. But in this picture, I was on the floor with my head
like this,
and I was listening. I was totally focused on these people. I like to look at that picture today. And I got a real gift that night. I had never heard of Al-Anon. I had no idea what it was. None. And a very special person in that church looked at me and said, "Go to Al-Anon." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "It's for relatives, families, and friends of people who love alcoholics." Well, that was the key for me because I knew I loved an alcoholic. And I also knew I always had. I've always loved alcoholics. They've been in my life from day one. I had to wait a couple days to go to the first meeting at that time in Morgantown. We didn't have one every day of the week, which we do now. And I'm grateful for that. But I had to wait a couple days. And a friend of mine said, "I'm going with you." "I don't need it," she said, "but I'm going to make sure you go." I'll be real honest to share with you, she's been in the program now for a little over a year and a half. She went with me, and I went into this room of strangers, excuse me, and I was absolutely terrified. But at that point in my life, I would not tell you I was scared. That would be the last thing I tell you, that I am just scared. And I don't remember what anybody said. But all I knew is they were having a party. And they were laughing, and I came here for serious business. And nobody was serious enough for me, and I could not stand it. And all of a sudden, there was this huge laugh that went up in this room. Everybody, all at the same time, and that was it. I jumped up, and I said, "What are you people doing here?" The room got quiet. Which makes perfect sense. But nobody asked me to leave. Not one person in that room told me to get out. And I had been being chased out of rooms all my life because I yelled at people. Because I was angry when I got to Al-Anon. And I was being chased out, or they were walking away from me. And this was the first time they didn't tell me to leave. And they didn't leave me. I really want to let you know tonight that this person and this person were two of those people. They said they understood. They said they loved me. And they said, "Please come back." Once again, I was hooked. So I started coming. I began to get well. For me, I had to leave home without leaving home. When you talk about detachment, I was aces at it. I could not be in my home at all. I could not be there. But I couldn't leave it physically. And I know today that I had a wonderful higher power in my life because when I needed to leave, I didn't have a car. When I needed to leave, somebody in this program just happened to show up on my doorstep and said, "Would you like to go get a cup of coffee? Would you like to come to my house?" Well, I was ready to go every time they came. And that's how I know my higher power was there, even when I didn't know it was. God knew I could not be at home. And so God took care of a way for me to get away from it. And I did that for almost the whole first year in the program. During the course of this time, this thing called adult children was being talked about a lot. And I really wanted to know about this because I knew I had been around alcoholics all my life. So I started reading anything I could get my hands on. And it scared me because it was me. Everything I read was me. And I kept going to my Al-Anon meetings trying to detach from my husband, because I really knew I loved him, but I didn't know how. That was my biggest problem. I didn't know why. I thought, why do I love this person? Don't know. I just do. Keep coming to meetings. Okay. So that's what I did. Nobody could tell me why. They couldn't even tell me why they loved their alcoholic. They just did. So I just kept going to these meetings, you see. And I was in the program about 3 months. And I really knew I needed a sponsor. I had gotten confused on it. I thought I heard somebody say, wait 6 months. I know today that person didn't say that. That's what I thought I heard them say. But I thought, I can't wait 6 months. I need one now. And I got a sponsor who has been an absolute gift. And because she has been a gift, because she's in this program and I get gifts from this program all the time, I have received gifts. Because I have received them, I can give them. She is an adult child. And the first thing she said to me as a suggestion, because I couldn't be at home and I wanted to be at home, was to quit focusing on the differences and start looking for the things that are the same. That was one of the best tools I've been given from this program, because I knew I was an adult child if I didn't know anything else. And I knew he was. His father died from alcoholism at the age of about 45. See, his drinking was the differences, but his adult child business was the same. So I started doing that. And in that search, I found me. And in that search, I found him. I found the love that I had lost for him. In that search, I was able to let go of him with love. And the thing that's real curious to me about that, and the thing I love about that, is you let somebody ask you to focus on the things that are the same, and I guarantee you, you're going to look for the good. You will not look for the bad, because you're trying to find the good in you. And if you want to find the things that are the same, you'll find it, because that's what you'll look for. There's no sense even arguing about it. It's just the truth. I needed to find the good. And by looking for the things that were the same, I did. And I found it in him too. And about a year after I was in the program, an ACOA Al-Anon meeting started in Morgantown. And I'm real grateful for that. I'm grateful that it began after I had a little over a year in Al-Anon meetings. Because I know today that that was my base for my adult child business. By the time adult child meetings started for me, I had a wonderful program in my life. I had a program that was working for me. I had a higher power in my life that I knew was there finally. And I knew that I needed to go to these adult child meetings. And I was real grateful that they were going to function as any other Al-Anon meeting. The same 12 steps, the same 12 traditions, and the same sharing. And for a long time, there were maybe three or four of us that went every week. We registered the meeting immediately. We came up with a name, and it was called It Did Happen to Me. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of that book, It Will Never Happen to Me. We decided to call our group It Did Happen to Me. And that's worked for us. We got a GR, we got a secretary, treasurer, we ordered literature, and we began. The wonderful thing about those meetings to me is that alcoholics began to come to those meetings. And they weren't sure, but they came. And the reason I love that is because I have always been a feeling person. I have never been unable to feel. I tried not to feel. But for the grace of God, I could have been an alcoholic today. I tried alcohol. But it wouldn't work for me because it did numb me. And I hated not feeling. Talk about a big-time martyr. There you go. My martyrdom would not allow me to be an alcoholic. I needed to feel. I hated not feeling. I tried marijuana once. It was the same thing. I was a bloody idiot. I looked in the mirror. I did all this smelling. I felt like this. It'd come back up. I thought I was ridiculous. I thought I was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in the world. But there was a thought that went through my head the whole time that was happening, and that was that my son, who was at that time about 6 months old, was in his bedroom, and I really knew if he cried, I wouldn't care. I knew that. So that was the first and the last time I tried that. I tried it. I experimented. It just wouldn't work for me. I guess I just needed to suffer for a long time. And I did that. Excuse me. When I went into Al-Anon, both of my children were not sure about Alateen. I just simply wasn't well enough to force them to go. I just wasn't. Because one of the reasons I landed in Al-Anon with such a thud was because what had happened to me for 10 years, and that was beating. I had beat my children twice bad, and I know today that God would stop me. But after the second time I beat them, the wanting to beat them began to eat me alive. I really wanted to kill these kids. I really did. And the wanting to do that was worse for me than the actual act. It was just killing me. I did not want to live anymore because I was ending up like the one human being I hated the most. It was absolutely eating me alive. And that also contributed to getting me to Al-Anon. So God works when you let Him. I began going to these meetings, these adult child meetings. And the meetings are kind of laid back. But there is so much sharing that goes on there. The thing I love about them is there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of, well, I'm not so sure about this, but I'll just keep trying this. The thing I love about that is that's exactly the same things I said when I started going to Al-Anon meetings. It's no different. It's all the same. The thing I know and believe today is that the ACOA meetings in Al-Anon are a gift from the program. I believe that. I believe because AA started so many years ago, and the wives of alcoholics knew they needed a meeting. And Al-Anon started because of that. And they didn't have a lot of literature then. And so they used what they could until they got literature from World Service. All of that could happen. And because those meetings started and they've kept going on, I believe that's why ACOA meetings are starting now. I believe it's a gift from the program. I need to share with you that all that reading I did didn't change anything for me. All those books I read that told me what I was didn't help change it. What they did do was bloody terrify me. But they couldn't change it. What changed it was going into a room full of other people who said, I'm an adult child. And this is what happened to me. This is my story. And we found out that a lot of the things that happened to me happened to you, and happened to you, and happened to you. Gave us a place just to talk. Which is what Al-Anon gave me, a place to talk, a place to be. The only thing that has contributed to change for me are the 12 steps. There has been no change and no acceptance for that family that I grew up in and for me in that family without the 12 steps and a higher power. It has not happened any other way. I need to share with you that when I finally had what I heard everybody talk about, which was surrender, which I was terrified of happening, the day that happened to me, I really knew I was going to die. And I loved it because I'd heard people talk about this, but it was happening to me, and I had no idea what was going on, but I knew one thing for sure, I was going to die before the day was out. I was shaking all over, and I had been shaking for a week. So I'm sorry, AAers, but if you think I don't know what the shakes feel like, you're wrong. I know what the shakes feel like. And I was terrified. But there was only one thing in my mind, and that was that I had to get to my sponsor because I needed to see her before I died. That was all I knew. That's the truth. Now I'm telling you. And to really let you know how I knew I was going to die, I have these two boys, and I thought, I've got to find a place for them to be because I'm going to die. This was the thinking that was going on in my head. I found places for them to be, people I trusted, places I knew they'd be okay, and I found them that easily. So I thought, God, this is it. I'm really going to die today because God's given me a way for my children to be okay. And I needed to get to her. That was the thing that was most important to me. I was supposed to work that day, and I thought, I'm not working today. I'm going to die today. I need to take care of this. Heck with this work. So I got my children to sitters, and they were at two different houses. And I drove immediately to her house, and all the way in the car, I just kept praying, God, just don't let me die till I get to her. Just keep me alive long enough till I get to her, because I need to get to her. Drove up her driveway, knocked on her door, and her husband answered the phone. He saw my face. He went, Rose. He didn't want near me. I don't blame him. I was in absolute panic. She walked downstairs, and she looked at me, and she went, oh. And I said, what? She said, are you okay? I said, no. She said, what's wrong? I said, I'm going to die today. I just know it. And I went through everything that I just told you. She walked over to me. She put her arms around me. She gave me a kiss on the cheek. And she said, surrender is hard. And as soon as she said that, I knew what was going on. Part of me did die that day. It was the part that God gave me to survive what I needed to survive. And God took it away. We call them walls. I view them as gifts from God. I know today that God gave me that to live till I didn't need it to live anymore. God took care of me from the day I was born. I could. couldn't take it away myself. I had to allow God to take it away. It was a gift. It helped me live for 36 years. I got a lot of character defects because of it, because I tried to think my way through it. But I do know today that it was a gift. I know today that God was with me all the time. I know today that God allowed me to forget that memory for 25 years because He knew I couldn't deal with it. I was 8 years old. I never told anybody. The insanity that happened to me with the memory, the fear that I had told the people in my family, the fear that that explained to me why my oldest sister treated me the way she did was because her husband had done this to me. None of that was true. That was all my thinking. But the reason it got me insane was because I would never talk about it. And God allowed me not to have to for 25 years. The reason I believe that is one of the first things I heard when I went to an Al-Anon meeting was, God never gives you anything till you can handle it. God gave it to me when He knew I could handle it. I did the work. I got me insane. That was my job at that time. Just get me insane real quick here. I did that. But when I got me insane enough, then God took over because I could let Him. I'd run out of time. I'd run out of energy. The adult-child meetings are very important to me. My own belief is that it completes the circle. You all know our logo. It says unity, service, and recovery. And there's a circle in there. And I want to share this with you. This is not mine. This came to me. And the reason I believe this is because it had to do with my surrender. This was the thing I had to tell my sponsor. Because I knew I was going to die. And it was important to me to pass this on to somebody else. I had never done any thinking on this. It was just an image. And in my mind's eye, I saw our logo. And I do needlepoint. And I had done a book cover for a fella in AA, and he wanted this logo on the back, the AA logo on the back of his book. I had never seen how unity and service and recovery was until I did that book cover. I really didn't pay any attention, but when I had to put this on a book cover for this fella, I saw it. I didn't think much of it. And in my mind's eye, I saw this completely filled circle. And this is what I needed to share with her. I have no idea what, I didn't know what it meant. I only knew it was important. And that was all I knew. And it was the whole picture in my mind, except at the bottom, above the word recovery, it said adult children. And it scared me to death. It contributed to my surrender, which is why I know and believe today that adult children meetings are a gift from this program, because this program is a gift from God. By AA, in the circle, it says unity. That's how AA started, through unity. By Al-Anon, it says service. That's how Al-Anon started, from service to AA. And by recovery, it said adult children. And I believe that through the 12 steps and 12 traditions of this program and the sharing of the sameness and the belief and a higher power that I never had. I always believed that God was doing something for you. I never believed He was doing anything for me. Through the grace of this program, I know that He does today, or she, whatever kind of mood I'm in on any given day. Sometimes it is she. I'm a woman. What can I say? I believe that adult child meetings have come about because our higher power collectively wishes us to have the best recovery that this program can offer. Adult child recovery is terrifying. I'm living proof. It is not easy. You cannot do it alone. Maybe you can. I couldn't. I needed people to just love me. And they did that until I could love me. Because of my alcoholic, because of my children, because of AA, Al-Anon, Alateen, and adult child meetings, I today love me. And because I love me, I love you. I don't meet strangers anymore. At all. Because we're all the same. I like ACOA. For me, it means adult child of alcoholism. It's a family disease. And the thing that I knew for me was my husband was an adult child long before he was an alcoholic. And that was the sameness. One last thing I will share with you is that we are not living together at this time. Ever since I went to Al-Anon, he has called Al-Anon they, them, those. You all know about that stuff. That isn't anything unfamiliar for you. So has my mother. My mother is also alcoholic. He doesn't call Al-Anon they, them, those anymore. He's still drinking. He doesn't believe it causes him any problems. If he doesn't believe it, it doesn't. It's that simple. He doesn't cause me any problems. His behavior does. And that's why I can't live with him today. But through the grace of this program, I can tell him that. And there's no resentment. There's no judgment. I can just be honest. It's real simple. When you come to visit me and you wreck into my car, I can't have that. And that's what he did. It's his behavior that I can't live with. It isn't him. Because of this program, and because of the love I found for him, my children don't have to be without him, like I had to be without my father. If they want to go visit him, that's their choice. But it was important for me to let them know if they got scared and they didn't want to be there, they could call me and I'd come get them. That's my responsibility as their parent. That has happened. But today I don't have to hate their father because that happens, because I know he's sick. I don't have to hate them because they can't stay with him, because he's sick. I don't have to hate at all anymore. I don't hate the child in me anymore. There's a part of that child that still hasn't grown up. I've accepted her today because she's that part of me that I feel we all need. And that's the child that wants to dance, and the child that wants to sing, and the child that wants to play. That's another gift from God. The one that wants to laugh. But if I accept that child, then I have the adult. Because I was an adult a long time before I was a child. The last thing I want to share with you is I have been driven to the Bible one time since I've been in this program. And that had to do with my surrender because I was shaking so bad and I was so terrified. And I looked up fear because the only thing I have ever known all my life is that I have been afraid. And I was given two things from the Bible. The first thing was, trust the fear. Trust and rejoice in the trembling. When you begin to tremble, you begin to know God. And that has sustained my program from that day on. That's why I can speak to you tonight. Because I trust my trembling. Because when I tremble, I will know God. And the other thing that was given to me in relationship to fear was suffer the little children to come up unto me. And I knew I was a child. And I knew that child was suffering. And so I did that. And I will continue to do that. And because adult children have been welcomed by Al-Anon, we all can do that. It must be Al-Anon for us. We can read all we want to read. And we may have to do that for a long time, just like Al-Anon had to read what they could read until they got what they needed. They had to read the stories in the newspaper. They had to read the books because the literature was not available. It's the same thing all over again. The literature isn't available, but it's coming. But until it comes, we can be together. And we can begin to get well. And I'll die in this program. But I can't think of a better place for that to happen. I love this program. I love you for allowing me to speak. I love my God for taking the trembling away slowly tonight. I thank the committee for asking me again. And I feel a lot of love. My heart feels good right now. Thank you all. Thank you.